Just want to hit record.
Good Lord.
Go ahead, Chairman. We're ready.
Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Right. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board in municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka? Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Mr. Weissman? He's trying to get on. And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, we have quite a few changes. The application of Jorge Mina, 24 Old New Brunswick Road, is adjourned until October 9th. They must notice. Edgar Lopez, 12 Howard Street, adjourned until November 13th. They must notice. MSN Pharmaceuticals, 20 Duke Road, adjourned until October 23rd with no further notice. VentureNet Properties, 425 Hose Lane, adjourned until October 23rd with no further notice. On Switch, 51 New England Avenue, adjourned until December 11th with no further notice. Those are all the changes that I have.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Let's move on to item number 725-ZB-63V. Barbara Iducci?
Iodis,
sorry. I just came back from Italy, so I was getting a little crazy.
It could be Iodis.
Ma'am, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I would like to have a variance for my fence.
You can put your hand down. Thank you.
That is not in code.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to check with Mr. Right.
Yes. Jonathan, you have some points to make on this one?
Yeah, there's a couple other points that we want to make about this property. First of all, have you had a chance to read the staff memorandum dated August 19th?
Yes.
Okay. So you understand that you're over on building coverage. So we need to bring your property back into conformance with building coverage. Would you be agreeable to modifying either the carport or removing one of the sheds?
No.
Okay, why not?
Financially, it would not be feasible, and I quite frankly don't understand why I would have to.
There's a requirement for building coverage not to exceed 20% of your lot area. When we were reviewing your property survey to perform the calculations, it became apparent that your property is over 20% coverage by roof structures. So it's
your property. The structures have been present for over 30 years. And I would not be in a position to make any of those changes at this time.
Okay, so our additional request to move the fence in 12 feet from the property line along Birchwood, would you be agreeable to that, or would you give the same reason as to no?
It's same.
Okay, these are fairly non-negotiable in regards to building coverage and with the proximity to the property line. So I would really encourage you to consider making some of these changes or finding a way that we can make some of these changes.
Sit over a little bit. Hi, I'm Barbara's daughter. Am I allowed to speak on her behalf? I'm sitting right next to her.
I can swear you in, ma'am. What's your name?
My name is Melissa Manna.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. So just we'd like to know what it is that she needs to change or do, as 13 feet in from the street seems a bit extreme, considering it's been up for 30 years and so have all the other structures on her property. Are you suggesting
the fact that it's been there for 30 years makes no difference?
Okay. So are you suggesting the structures need to be taken down completely, or she will have to pay a fee, or what's the ramifications if she's not agreeable to removing any of the structures, I guess is our question.
You'll be receiving violations from our code enforcement department.
Okay.
Ma'am, okay. At this point, the way we normally lean with our experts, we normally lean towards their judgments. I don't agree with the coverage. I think that she's 20.2 and the ordinance calls for 20. So I'm willing to put it forth to the board here that we show the relief for the coverage, but the fence has got to come in. And if you don't agree to something tonight, chances are I can read the room pretty well, and you will not get an approval. And code enforcement can come out at that point.
Okay, can I ask you, is it 13 feet minimum? Is that set in stone, or can 12, that be negotiable?
12 feet minimum from the property line, not from the street.
12 feet minimum. If I put a 4-foot fence right where the existing 6-foot fence is, would that be acceptable?
As long as it's 50% open, as in a picket fence.
Is that something you could agree upon, ma'am? Therefore, you wouldn't have to move.
Mr. Chairman, one question, though. Would she be able to do the 4-foot up to the 12 feet? And then once the 12 feet, she could put the 6-foot? There's two different ways to look at that. We need to know for the resolution.
Thank you, Laura. That was my next question.
I think we need Jonathan's opinion on that.
Yeah, I would agree with Laura. I think if they do agree to do a 4-foot, 50% solid, they could, with the variance at 12 feet from the property line, step up to a 6-foot panel.
12 feet from property line. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a time allotment on that she needs to adhere to?
Can we put that in some language there, Jim?
Yes, whatever the board decides.
What time
would be a time frame?
Yeah, what kind of time frame are you looking at, ma'am? A couple of months?
Well, frankly, she's not, because we really thought with the affidavit and all the signatures that she got over the past 2 months that this would clear the problem.
Right.
So we really weren't even thinking about a timeline, quite frankly.
And I wasn't thinking I was going to have to make these changes.
And then I hear that from almost every applicant that comes before us. Unfortunately, I am so sorry you're in this position, but it is what we have to deal with.
And I mean, I appreciate the candor, but I do need to ask you, is there a reason why she had to go and get all up 25 signatures for an affidavit if this was going to be basically declined anyway?
To state law, ma'am. These are the notice requirements set forth in state law.
Okay, so whether she did or did not get the signatures, this would have been the outcome anyway.
If you didn't get the signatures, you would not have a hearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To the fence.
From what I have to do.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I said, are you amiable to what Laura suggested with the 4-foot, 50% solid, and then breaking it out to a 6-foot?
It's up to you. It's your property, Mom.
To stay in the position it's currently
in. No, it's either got to be.
We'll keep the fence from the property line to 12 feet in. The fence will stay in the same location. It'll be 4 foot tall, 50% solid. Then after you pass that 12-foot mark, you can step up to that 6-foot solid fence.
And they're going to let you keep the sheds. So if you say no, there's a chance the whole thing could be denied.
So this is a bargain, is what we're doing right now. Okay. So let me
It's a compromise. So
when you say a 4-foot fence, that means a slotted fence. So it's open and it's 4 foot tall. Yes. And it 50%. Can stay in the same footings in the same position.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You can leave the footings in the same position. If it's a 2-inch picket, 2-inch gap, that's what we mean by 50% solid.
Okay, so it's a see-through fence and it can't be a solid cedar, which he has now, which is 6 foot.
Correct.
Okay, and the property line does not have to be moved if she will agree to a 4-foot, 2-inch opening gap fence.
An equal opening to the size of the slot, yes.
Okay. Okay. And you have to agree to it, Mom, because apparently that's they didn't stick to what they told you originally. So you have no choice.
If there's a financial hardship involved, would putting this off until spring of 2026 help you out at all?
No, there's absolutely a financial hardship, which is why my mom walked around the neighborhood at 80 years old getting 25 signatures. We thought that this would be
right.
That's like
this would be
our attorney.
No, I was explained to you the signatures were for noticing. You had to go in front. It's the board's decision, not your neighbor's decision.
But what were? Excuse my my question.
I've been helping your mother through this for months.
What was the what were the signatures for then? To agree with what? If she still needs to move structures,
they don't have to agree with anything.
The signatures have nothing to do with agreement. The signatures are to be sure that everyone within 200 feet of the applicant's property is on notice that this application has been made. It's not that they agree to it.
Okay, so the final decision is made by the zoning board?
Yes.
Yeah. I have seen fences where in vinyl where it almost looks like a louver. Is that what you mean by where it's open, slotted?
No. Picket fence.
It has to be picket?
Or a chain link. You could do a chain link.
Do you want me to speak or do you not want me to speak?
You could do either or at time of permitting.
Because it's going to be a problem if I speak.
You can do a rail fence.
Yeah, by all means, I
don't want to take up any more of the court's time. My mother, like I said, she walked around the neighborhood to get all of these signatures thinking that she could keep her property, you know, in the same shape that it was for many years. So now you're saying, so if the fence does come down, it just needs to be picket in the sense that it can't be a shadow fence is what I think that's what she was referring to. It's got to be actual 2-inch gaps in between slats is what you're saying.
If the slats are 2 inches wide, the gaps have to be 2 inches wide.
That's the biggest sense. Okay. Okay, and that's the only option except to move it 12 feet in from the property line.
That is
and
correct.
Keep it at the same height. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the compromise.
Okay. And we have until spring to actually have this work done.
Give you until April when the ground is nice and warm and, you know, maybe it'll be a lot easier to put the fence up.
Okay. And it can be uniform with the same fence that she has. In other words, she's got the cedar, she's got the vinyl cedar color fence that goes around the whole property. And she doesn't, obviously we don't want to bring down the property value by making it look worse, which is going to happen with the suggestion. So can we keep the same fence if we move it in?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
So you're agreeable to that then?
And that's it. I mean,
one more question, again, not to take up the time.
All right, that's the fence issue. Are there any other issues?
I just wanted to ask.
No, I already told you. You know, I already told you that the coverage is something that I think I'll waive. It's 0.2 over, and it's de minimis in my eyes. So you just need to make a decision on the fence.
On the fence. And one more question.
The suggestion
before.
Laura made.
I just have one more question. So if she does remedy the fence issue, why is it that you waived the sheds as needing to be removed? I'm not understanding why one trumps the other.
Two different issues.
In Sean's opinion, the 0.2% is de minimis, meaning it's of low significance compared to the impact the fence being too close to the street has on vehicular traffic safety.
And there's no way, I was under the impression that the solid 4 foot in the position that it's in now would be okay. That's not okay, the whole thing.
It is okay.
That is not okay.
It's not, or it is?
The 4 foot fence would need to be 50% solid at a minimum. Right. So as Laura said, that could be the picket or the chain link.
Correct. At the 4 foot level. At the 4 foot chain link or picket, you're not going to have any privacy, Mom. You're losing your entire privacy. So you either have to bump in 12 feet or go with the picket. We understand what you guys are proposing.
Do you want to put this, we could put this off to another meeting if you guys want to take time to discuss it. This is the options. If you feel pressure to make a decision like this in the next couple of minutes, I don't want to put that on you. If you want to take
she certainly doesn't feel comfortable. Like I said, it's definitely finances are an issue. If we can put this off again, just for a short time.
Fair enough. That's probably the proper decision to make. Let's put this off. For Laura, what do we look like in November? I mean, October?
October 9th.
Okay, is October 9th enough time, or?
We have to do this 6 months.
I'd like your sons to maybe sit in on this, maybe? I don't know.
Are you going to ask her to send revised plan? Like, on my end, what are we going to be looking for or doing? Like, we're going to put it off for a month, but I mean, is it going to change anything?
If it's going to be the same answer, then no. But when does she have to have this fence put up? This is not going to happen overnight. I mean, there definitely is financial.
I told you, April of 2026 is 10 months out.
All right, let's do that, and we'll forego the next meeting then.
Yes.
Okay.
Not going to change.
Yeah, if it's not going to change, there's no point. Thank you, Laura, in having another meeting.
Okay, so do you want to do a vote tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, that was a whirlwind there. Where are we? She's moving the fence in and keeping it the same?
Four foot, 50% open.
You have to decide what you want to do.
Property line, then up to 6 feet.
Mom, this is what this is about. Oh. Are you moving the fence in 12 feet, or are you going to do a picket at the same line?
She
can get the variance for the 4 foot, and then if she wants to do the 12 foot, she could always just move it to 12 feet, is the same exact thing.
Right.
Correct. That's what I want. Yes.
All right. Is that good with you, Jonathan?
Yes.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments about this?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application with the stipulations outlined. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka? Or he was here. Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application as amended has been approved. We'll memorialize this in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, ladies. Let's move on to item number 8, 25-ZB-54V, Michael Murray.
Is Mr. Sullivan present?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody. My name's John Sullivan. I'm an attorney with the offices of Vastola and Sullivan, and I'm representing Michael Murray, who is the owner of the property at 25 Stelton Road. That property is fully improved with a 2.5-story building, along with a driveway and a parking area that can fit 6 vehicles. This property was subject to a prior zoning board approval back in 1982, and that allowed the mixed use of the property with, at the time, a chiropractor's office on the first floor and a residential apartment on the second floor, with the caveat that the second floor apartment could only be occupied by the proprietor of the first floor office. The proposal before you tonight is to allow us to convert the use of the property to a two-family dwelling with one apartment on the first floor and one apartment on the second floor. We do not really propose many site improvements. However, we have had a chance to review the staff report, and we will agree to those conditions that are set forth there. So that would be the only the exterior improvements to the site. If you look at the site plan, there were some sheds there, and we were going to remove those sheds as part of this application. The relief we are requesting is a D1 use variance. There are several bulk standard non-conformities, but as I understand it, they were previously approved back during the 1982 approval. What we've submitted tonight is the variance plan prepared by Casey and Keller with the date of May 6th of 2025. We also submitted the survey dated June 20th of 2025, also prepared by Casey and Keller, as well as the architectural plans prepared by Taylor Architecture and Design, which are dated May 7th of 2025. We have three witnesses. We'll try and keep this as brief as possible. We have Jerry Williamson, who is our realtor, Brian Taylor, who is our architect, and Brian Conway, who is our landscape architect and professional planner. So if I may, I would begin with Mr. Williamson.
Please proceed.
Mr. Williams, are you present?
Yes, I am.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Gerald Williamson, 12 Anita Drive, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thanks. You can put your hand down.
Mr. Williamson, you are a licensed New Jersey realtor, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And how long have you been so licensed?
Since 1981, I was a real estate agent, and in 1987, I became a real estate broker.
And your license remains in good standing?
Yes.
And can you just briefly describe to the board the nature of your practice?
I do pretty much everything from residential to vacant land to commercial. Pretty much anything.
Mr. Sullivan, you can move on.
Thank you. And Mr. Williamson, you're familiar with the site as well as the building on the site?
Yes.
And I understand that you listed it for sale?
Yes, I listed the property for sale on 4/9/2025.
And what did you do in terms of advertising?
I put it into All Jersey, the Garden State MLS.
So it went multiple listing services?
Multiple listing services, yes. And I had a sign in front of the property, which I got numerous calls on.
Okay. And I understand you did list it as a mixed use in accordance with that 1982 zoning board approval. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And you said you did get numerous calls on it?
Many calls, mostly looking for a residential use.
Okay. Was anybody interested in the particular use that the that's permitted to be used for?
I did have a few showings from professionals who did look at it, but the feedback was they felt the first floor was too small.
And then you mentioned you did have inquiries about use as residential. Was that as a two-family home?
Yes. Yes. Many people called wanting to know if it was a two-family.
And do you feel that the unit size being relatively small, I think around 700 square feet for each floor, did that detract from being able to sell the property for the permitted use?
Yes. And also that the professional would also have to be the one that occupied the apartment. They didn't have the option of, letting somebody else live upstairs. But I just think from a professional standpoint, it really didn't appeal to many people. The two family had a much more of an appeal.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have for Mr. Williamson.
Any other members of the board have any questions for Mr. Williamson? You can proceed, Mr. Sullivan.
Thank you. Next would be our architect, Brian Taylor.
Mr. Keller, present.
I am.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
Brian Taylor, 95 Watchung Avenue, North Plainfield, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. Taylor, would you state your qualifications for the board?
I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey, as well as six other states. I attended the New Jersey Institute of Technology for my Bachelor of Architecture, and I've been in my own practice for 23 years.
It's Mr. Sullivan, his credentials are perfect. That's fine.
Thank you. And Mr. Taylor, you're familiar with the site and the application, correct?
Yes.
And you prepared the plans that we've submitted to the board?
Yes.
And can you describe to the board the structure as it exists now and what we are proposing?
So the structure now, essentially this was built as a single family home. It's a 2.5-story wood frame structure with a front porch, very residential looking. Apparently it was converted at the first floor to be an office. I believe it was a chiropractor's office. It was a small office. And the second floor remained as a residential apartment. So that's pretty much is the existing use right now.
And would you describe the proposed renovations for the proposed use?
Sure. So the renovations are exclusively on the first floor. And essentially, we are converting that first floor office use into an apartment. So we are adding a full bathroom because there was only a powder room there. We're adding a full kitchen. We're adding two bedrooms, a living room, and a home office. And these are all just interior alterations. We're not proposing any exterior alterations. And I will note that, you know, like I said, that the home has a very residential, you know, character to it. It was a single family home. It has a nice curb appeal. It has a nice front porch, and it's in good condition on the exterior.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have for Mr. Taylor.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments from Mr. Taylor? Hearing none, Mr. Sullivan, put on your next witness.
Mr. Chairman, the statement from the architect was that it's a two-bedroom apartment. If the board approves it, I would make that a condition of approval.
Okay. Mr. Sullivan, in agreement?
Yes, next would be Brian Conway. He is our landscape architect and our professional planner.
Mr. Conway, are you present? You're muted.
Okay.
Hey.
Everybody hear me okay?
Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Your name and address, please.
Brian Conway, professional address 258 Main Street, Millburn, New Jersey, 07041.
Mr. Conway, would you state your qualifications for the board as both a landscape architect and a professional planner?
Certainly. I'm a graduate of Rutgers University, Cook College. I've been licensed as a landscape architect since 1992, licensed as a professional planner since 1993. I've been practicing since then, doing all types of different projects. I've done several in Piscataway, certainly before the planning board. I don't know that I've been before Piscataway.
Thank you, Mr. Conway.
Before. Okay.
Please proceed. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Conway.
Now, your firm prepared the engineering plans that we submitted to the board?
Yes, sir.
And you're familiar with the site as well as the proposal?
Correct.
If you could just start out by describing the site as it currently exists.
Certainly. Can everybody see the screen share?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The site is a rectangular lot on the east side of Stelton Road between Lakeview Avenue and Academy Street. It's 60 feet wide by about 180 feet deep. It's a 10,691 square foot site, which is 0.25 acres, just about a quarter of an acre, improved with an existing two-story mixed-use building. The property is wholly located within the BP2 Business Professional District. The first floor contains an approximate 720 square foot office space. The second floor contains an existing 700 square foot, approximately two-bedroom apartment. The site is generally flat, with the Fox and Fox apartment buildings to the north and east is their parking lot, and there's an office building to the south. The site ingress is via the south, a one-way drive, and the site egress is via a one-way drive on the north side of the building. There are six existing parking spaces. It's conforming with all of the bulk requirements of the zone, except for lot width and front yard, which there was previous variance approval given in the 1982 application. Just a couple statistics to note that I'm going to reference later. The total impervious coverage on the site is 53.8%, and the total pervious or landscape coverage of the site is 46.2%. These are all existing conditions that will remain unchanged by this application. Just going to give a little bit of neighborhood context. And the plan I'm referencing is the plan that was submitted. And I'm going to zoom in on the aerial photo on the top left of the drawing. The property in question is within the center blue rectangle. The outer blue rectangle is a 200-foot distance for the 200-foot properties. So for neighborhood context, surrounding properties within the Stelton Road Business District include commercial, offices, institutional uses, single-family homes, new multifamily, and existing multifamily residential. The township amenities in the area include the Westergaard Library, Newmarket Park, and Columbus Park. For the site history, according to the multiple listing, the house was built in 1875 and was formerly a one-family residence. In 1982, a variance was granted to create a chiropractor's office on the first floor with a second floor apartment, with the condition that the office be used by one professional who must necessarily be the occupant of the apartment. The chiropractor's office is closed and the building remains vacant. The variance approved in 1982 is a very specific and niche approval. The office space on the first floor is small at about 726 square feet. Mr. Murray purchased the property this year and has been unable to find a tenant. I'm zooming back over to the plan itself. The application proposed to leave the building exterior as is and to renovate the interior by converting the first floor office space into a two-bedroom apartment. The second floor apartment will remain as is. The site will remain unchanged except for the improvements and repairs requested by the Piscataway Staff Report Memorandum dated today, September 25th, 2025. The minimum parking requirement for the two-bedroom apartments is five parking spaces. There are six existing parking spaces on site that shall remain. To reiterate, this is a change of use variance application and proposes no changes to the building exterior, no changes to the site except as requested by the town, and minor renovations to the first floor interior. That's the description of the site, existing conditions. I'm going to go into the planning testimony now. What we're seeking is a use variance to change the use of a mixed-use building, first floor office, and second floor apartment approved by prior variance to a two-unit residential use with a first floor apartment while maintaining the second floor apartment. It's a D variance we're asking for. Under the Municipal Land Use Law 40:55D-70, D1, we have to provide positive criteria or special reasons, and we have to review and discuss the negative criteria and show that the project can be approved without substantial detriment to the public good and will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and the zoning ordinance. For the positive criteria, special reasons, to establish special reasons and meet the positive criteria, the applicant must show that the proposed project carries out a purpose of the zoning as defined by the municipal land use law. Case law finds that there are sufficient special reasons for the grant of a D variance when a proposed project carries out any of the 16 purposes of zoning as defined in NJS 40:55D-2. The purposes advanced by this project: A is to encourage the municipal action to guide appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. A vacant property has a negative impact. A fully rented, utilized building is a better neighbor and promotes general welfare. These two apartments proposed are within the Stelton Road Business District with easily walkable access. As mentioned before, other than the minor renovations inside the building will remain as is with the exterior unmodified. The existing site will also remain as is, spare repairs and improvements requested by the town. Considering this, the project carries out several other purposes of the municipal land use law, including C, to provide adequate light, air, and open space. The site's 46.2% pervious landscape area will remain unchanged under this application. In other words, almost half of the site will remain landscaped and pervious. And then E, to promote the establishment of appropriate population densities and concentrations that will contribute to the well-being of persons, neighborhoods, communities, and regions, and preservation of the environment. The preservation of an existing building and site, largely intact with adaptive reuse that does not require extensive demolition, construction, or disturbance, will help to preserve the environment. We also have G, to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses and open space, both public and private, according to the respective environmental requirements in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. So we're providing a variety of housing types to meet the needs of the community. The proposed application makes an additional small two-bedroom unit available to help meet the residential needs of Piscataway and the surrounding area. We also have J, to promote the conservation of historic sites and districts, open space, energy resources, and valuable resources in the state, and to prevent urban sprawl and degradation of the environment through the improper use of land. The change of this building, built in 1875, without changes to the exterior and with only minor site plan changes requested by the township, will commit the continued use of the property without additional impacts to the environment and the community. In my mind, this project advances five purposes of zoning. In addition to advancing these general purposes, case law also requires that we show that the site is particularly well suited for the proposed use in order to further promote general welfare. A few caveats. Demonstrating that a site is particularly suitable for use does not require proof that there is no other potential location for the use within the community, nor does it demand evidence that a permitted use couldn't work on the property. Rather, it's an inquiry into whether the property is particularly suited for the proposed use in the sense that it's especially well suited for the use in spite of the fact that the use is not permitted in the zone. The site is particularly well suited for the project because the existing building can easily accommodate the change of use without any exterior modifications. The site can easily accommodate the use without modification. Again, the only site plan changes proposed are as being requested by the town. The site is located within the Stelton Business District with easy pedestrian access to building, businesses, and recreation. The existing parking exceeds what's required, and it is likely that the site has been a residential use for 150 years or so. As Jerry had testified to, the site is not in demand for the permitted uses, and the site is particularly well-suited for the proposed use. I'm going to briefly discuss the negative criteria, and in order to share the negative criteria, we have to demonstrate that no substantial detriment to the public good, and there's no substantial impairment to the intent or purpose of the master plan and zoning ordinance. Insofar as no substantial detriment to the public good, there's no detriment here to the character of the neighborhood. Impacts are mitigated by there's no changes to the building exterior, there are minimal changes to the site that are requested by the town, there's sufficient on-site parking, and the change from an office to a two-bedroom apartment will reduce traffic, albeit it will be a minimal change. While there are always some possible negative impacts, in my opinion, there are none that are substantial. And I believe that the benefits outweigh any detriments. Insofar as substantial impairment to the master plan or the zoning ordinance, I spent a lot of time reading through the master plan re-examination report of 2020 And land use goals, one of the land use goals is to ensure the harmonious interrelationships of various land use activities throughout the entire township and with neighboring municipalities. And here we have an existing building in the neighborhood that's been there for, you know, approximately 150 years. Also in the examination report, there was discussion of challenges, section three, and it talked about the adaptive reuse of existing sites and buildings compatible with the surrounding land use. I think this is an adaptive reuse of a site, and given that it's on the in the BP2 zone in the Stelton Business District, I think it's it'd be a, an additional benefit that the residents would be able to walk and support the businesses along Stelton Road. Additionally, in the master plan re-examination report, number four, assumptions, as vacant developable land diminishes in the township, public and private redevelopment, rehabilitation, and adaptive reuse efforts will continue to increase, particularly in the older sections of the township and on older developed land parcels and buildings. I think that everything that I've discussed so far supports that base. So in my mind's eye, I believe that the use proposed is not inconsistent with the master plan. That concludes my testimony. I'm happy to answer any questions or have any discussion should anybody care to.
Well, just before we do that, you did have the opportunity to review the staff report dated September 25th of 2025 with the applicant, and in particular, the recommendations under site impact, items number 2 through 6. And it's my understanding that the applicant will agree to each of those conditions. Is that correct?
Correct. We will work through all those conditions with the township officials.
Okay. And did you need any clarification on item number 4, installation of the optic line?
We have been working in Piscataway, and we have worked with this on several other projects. We actually were doing a plan revision for a project on Centennial Avenue today. So I'm sure that we'd be able to coordinate with the town. I believe Joe Herrera is who we were coordinating with on that revision to their satisfaction.
Okay, and then the County Planning Board did issue a letter of no interest dated June 24th of 2025, correct?
Yes.
And that is all I have for Mr. Conway.
Okay. Mr. Conway, take your screen down, please. Any members of the board? How about Jonathan? Jonathan, would you like to chime in here? And again, they agreed to the all everything on the site impact. So that covered Understood. A lot of stuff, but maybe you have another question.
The item number 5, is there an intention to add signage to this property?
What would be the intent of the signage, Jonathan?
Directional?
Would arrows on the ground be sufficient in and out?
That's what I thought. You don't have to. I'm just curious if that was being considered.
I think it would be less cluttered if we were to paint arrows on the driveways for directions as opposed to add signs.
That works. Okay, that's all I have.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I have just one comment. I think it's a repurpose of a building that's been there for 150 years. And we've got multifamily next to it and an office building on the other side. It seems to make, I guess I support the testimony that the planner gave.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. And Mr. Sullivan, I'm going to take it to the public now, and then we'll vote. You have anything else you want to add? You're done?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Let's open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
I'll make motion.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Regia?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidalgo?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Sullivan, will memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Item number 11, 25-ZV-69/70V, ACMY.
Thank you, Mr. Cahill, members of the board and board professionals. My name is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here tonight representing Acme LLC. Are the owners of, let me just pull up my outline, owners of the property at 4100 New Brunswick Avenue. We're here tonight seeking amended preliminary and final minor site plan and a temporary use permit approval for the property, which is located in the M5 industrial zone. We're proposing to use a portion of the site, which is currently comprised of compacted gravel and is unused, as a temporary tractor trailer storage. The proposal is to add 20 12 by 55 foot spaces delineated along the western side of the site, with no other changes to the current building or site operations. As I mentioned, the property is located in the M5 zone, which allows as an accessory use for the principal use on the property to have tractor trailer parking. However, the intent is to lease this this space to a third party tenant that's not operating out of the site. So that's why it requires the temporary use permit or ultimately a use variance. And I mentioned that to highlight what your staff report already confirms, which is that this location is really ideal for this purpose, very well suited for having it as it's in the industrial zone. And in fact, the site has consistently had tractor trailers parked on it since 1970, according to historical aerial photos that we were able to look at. So I did mention this is a temporary 6-month use permit. The intention is to come back before the board within that 6-month period with a full use variance application and site plan application showing a more permanent delineated tractor trailer parking plan. But there's actually a lot of interest, immediate interest to utilize the space for tractor trailer parking. So that's why we're coming in for that for the temporary use permit now. I do want to acknowledge that we have two staff reports. We have Mr. Chadwick's report, and we also have the famous Piscataway Tri-Party staff report. We can agree to and answer all the items in the reports. I do want to highlight one comment in particular, however, before we move on, and that is on the tri-party report, comment 2 of 5, and I'll read it verbatim. The site is well suited for the temporary use of trailer storage, end quote. So I always like to highlight when I see something like that in a staff report. I do only have I have one witness planned for tonight, and that is Mr. Rob Murray from Menlo Engineering. I also have Lester Weiss here, who is the applicant, in case there's any specific questions that only he can answer. But I think that we can address all of the reports with Rob's testimony. So unless there is any questions of me beforehand, I'm ready to proceed with.
I think you should proceed with Mr. Murray. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Murray, are you present?
Yes.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Robert Murray, 261 Cleveland Avenue, Highland Park, New Jersey.
Put your hand down.
Mr. Murray, if you can please briefly go through your qualifications so you can be accepted as an expert in engineering.
Yes. I graduated from Stevens Institute of Technology in 2017. I've been a professional engineer for about 4 years now, and I provided testimony in front of numerous boards, including Piscataway.
And we can proceed, Mr. Arch.
Thank you. Mr. Murray, the floor is yours. If you can take us away and just demonstrate the site for the board and what we're proposing.
Yes. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This is our amended minor site plan exhibit, which is a aerial photograph of the site with the very minor improvements colorized. And just to orient, the drawing north is facing up. The property, better known as 4100 New Brunswick Ave, is known as Lot 2.03 of Block 1701 in the township of Piscataway. The site is located to the northeast of the intersection between New Brunswick Avenue and Tyler Place, with two accesses off of New Brunswick Ave. Overall, the property is approximately 10.99 acres and is located entirely within the M5 industrial zone. The site is surrounded to the north by industrial use, to the east, a site under construction for residential, to the south beyond the Conrail industrial and educational uses, and to the west, Woodlands in the LI2 zone. As the site exists today, it is currently a 96,080 square foot building with warehouse, manufacturing, and office space uses. The site currently has 95 parking spaces, and the applicant is not seeking to change anything with parking. The applicant is proposing 20 trailer spaces behind the building on the west side. These spaces will be 12 by 55 feet. The applicant anticipates that only a few trips will happen a week for trailer storage, third-party trailer storage. And the applicant agrees to evaluate their striping monthly to decide whether it's necessary to restripe the improvement. There are no changes to the structure, no changes to the parking. The applicant simply is just seeking a use variance for the third-party trailer storage and a variance for the gravel parking for the trailer storage. And that briefly sums up the improvements to the site.
Thank you, Rob. I think we've addressed, I just want to highlight the two comments that you made as to the frequency of the tractor trailers. You indicated that we only anticipate that they're going to be moved possibly just a couple times per week. This isn't going to be a daily switching of the trailers. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I believe you also indicated, because one of the comments on the reports was the frequency of restriping, if that's necessary. And I know we indicated that it's gravel, but I think we had spoken about that this is actually a really compressed gravel. And so we actually think that the lines are going to hold up very well, but we would agree as a condition to monitor that on a monthly basis and restripe as necessary, correct? Okay. I think the only other comment was from Mr. Chadwick's report that we need testimony on, and that was some commentary on what type of materials would be within the trailers. And I think if I recall when we discussed with ownership earlier today, that's ultimately going to depend on that third party tenant. However, we would be happy to agree to a condition that there would be no hazardous materials of any kind stored in those trailers. And we anticipate that what's going to be on site is either going to be actually empty trailers for the most part, but if they do have items in them, those would be the common non-perishable items that would be shipped over the road that are not hazardous in nature. And again, aren't anything that are going to cause any sort of a nuisance or a problem. It would just be the normal type of items that get shipped over the road. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
One comment brief. Can you agree? No tanker trucks?
No tanker trucks, as in like oil tanker trucks or
any kind of a tanker truck.
I believe we have Mr. Weiss on. I don't think that's going to be an issue, but if I would just ask to confirm that with Mr. Weiss, who I believe is who is on as well.
Mr. Weiss, I'll need to swear you in. Are you present?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I need to swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Lester Weiss, 477 Ocean Avenue North, Long Branch, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. Weiss, you heard what Mr. Chadwick indicated, that he would ask that there be a condition that no tanker trucks be utilized. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yes, I would.
There you go.
No other questions.
Thank you. I don't believe we have any further testimony unless the board or board professionals require any additional testimony. I would like to give a brief summation at this time and just to indicate that, quite frankly, but for the end user of the parking spaces not being affiliated with the principal use on site, this would be a permitted use in the M5 zone. So functionally, this is precisely what the zone is intended for. So to that end, it certainly fits in ideally with the township master plan. And as your professionals have confirmed, and they're soon to be framed and placed on my fridge staff report, it is particularly suited for this property. So because it is in line with the township's intended plan, there's no detriment to the surrounding properties. The location is, again, I say ideally suited. And by allowing parking on this industrial site, it's lessening the need to store these tractor trailers on other properties, possibly within the township, possibly on sites that are far less suited for this use. So this is an adaptive reuse of an underutilized portion of the site, and we believe that it certainly meets the criteria for a temporary use permit, and look forward to coming back in a few months with a full site plan and use variance application.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arch. Any members of the board have any questions or comments about this application?
Rob, if you can stop sharing your screen, please, just so we can...
Yeah, appreciate that, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any members of the board have any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, let's close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Call roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Arch, we'll memorialize this at our next meeting and send a copy to you.
Thank you. Have a good evening, everybody.
You too.
You too.
Let's move on to item number 14, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of September 18, 2025.
First resolution is a resolution of denial. A vote yes is to deny the application. This is Delton Black. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hayduga?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is Ronak Patel, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hayduga?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is Farid Uddin Syed, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hayduka?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Next is David Losey, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hayduka?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Last resolution is Ankit Shah, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel? Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Duca?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have this evening.
Okay, item number 15 is adoption of minutes from the regular meeting on September 18, 2025. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, next is an adjournment. All in favor say aye.
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 Hey guys, see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks again for coming out.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everyone.